D2. Number 4B.
Or take what is important: consciousness. Today, since the psychologists have discovered consciousness and the importance of consciousness, one is speaking about consciousness, about unconsciousness, about subconsciousness, and about being conscious. Now, these are, again, just handling the four levels. On the level of science, being says, I am consciousness. I am infinite consciousness. It doesn't say so much, I am conscious of. But it says, I am consciousness. I am the infinite consciousness. And that infinite consciousness is really on the level of divine science, dealing with that whole sense of the unconscious. Now, the Eastern religion have that sense that we have to reach the unconscious. And they mean by it that consciousness which is not humanly conceivable consciously. But we have to see that that sense of the unconscious is really the counterfeit of being aware of consciousness. Completely aware that nothing is going on but consciousness. And that is always that which is able, on the level of absolute Christian science, to uncover what is going on in the subconscious. That which is hidden somehow in consciousness, but makes up most of what the human mind is doing and acting and believing and reacting. So it touches also the subconscious field, and touches it to the point that it makes it conscious to oneself, and therefore analyzes, uncovers, and brings to the surface that which is wrong, and therefore brings to us the right concept where we become conscious of things. How do we handle evil with these four? You know, handling evil is just anathema to some metaphysicians. Handling evil. How can you handle evil if there is no evil? Just stupid. Well, just to say there is no evil is an evil in itself. To understand that there is no evil, that's a truth. But just to say there is no sickness and you feel miserable, that's not the answer. Just to say there is no sin and do all sorts of silly things is not really reasonable. So, this is not the answer, just to say because sin, disease and sick are not real, you don't have to bother about it. You have to know the truth about it. And so, we have to see how, from the various levels, we handle the claim that there could be something opposite to the one being. From the plane of science itself, science which knows no lapse from harmony, no return to harmony, really here you can say science knows no evil. Science knows no error. Here we can really say that evil is unknown. We don't have to be bothered about it. Here we can say, and this would be the answer to evil, here we could say, what is evil is a wrong question. In science we would say, what is evil, the question what is evil, is a wrong question. Why? A right question is a question about truth, and therefore can be answered. A wrong question is a question about something which is not true, which is not real, which is not existing. So you can't answer it. We can't answer it. More and more, you know, we find out that we have so many questions about being, about science, about life. And my advice would be, ask yourself first, is that question a right question? And you will find out that 99% of those questions are not right questions, but wrong questions. And wrong questions cannot be answered. And because the Greeks, philosophers and scientists 2,500 years asked sometimes a wrong question, they couldn't answer it up to now. But now they can. Because one has seen that there are wrong questions. All those questions about evil, about matter, about error, are wrong questions. We can't put a question about something which isn't. There's no answer. If we ask, why is the earth flat? You can't answer. You can try any trick, any dialectic trick to answer it. But one doesn't get a proper answer because it's not asking a right question. Now, if we start from science itself, we never ask a wrong question. Because science itself does not know evil, does not know error, does not know anything which is outside of being. Therefore, it cannot ask a wrong question because there is nothing wrong in it. So, for heaven's sake, whatever questions you always have, stop questioning and ask yourself first, is this a right question? And the answer, if it is a right question, is if it goes out from the one infinite principle, then it is a right question. Otherwise not. And this will bring the solution to everything. And, you know, I always feel that those people who have always questions are those who have not seen science. They are always those who start from outside of being, outside of science, and ask science a question. Instead of going out from within science, the infinite principle, and ask what this principle is. That's the right question. And it makes life so easy. Terrifically easy. It takes the burden right off one's shoulder, because there, if one goes out from principle, there is nothing which is against being. There is no duality, no multiplicity of being. There is one being. So, the very first thing one has to do when we have to say, I have to handle this and this situation, I have to handle error and so on, ask yourself first, from where are you going out? Have you put the right question? Have you tried to solve the right solution, the right problem? You know, the art of Christian Science is to solve the right problems and not the wrong problems. That's the art of Christian Science. Mostly Christian Science try to solve the wrong problems. Those problems which they put up themselves. They say, I have a problem. Who is the I? Their personal I. Well, if we go out from the very opposite of principle, namely the personal I, and we line out and define a problem which we have, which I have, then it's certainly a wrong problem. And we shouldn't try to solve that problem. Let's try to put right problems. The right problem is always, that's why I think life is so jolly nice today in this world. People always say, oh, this awful world. I don't see anything awful in this world, I must say. I feel very happy in this world, jolly happy. I think it's a wonderful world. I think it's an exciting world. I think it's a world in which I like to live, and no other age which has been before I would have liked to live. compared with what we are living in today. It's an exciting world. It's the one divine principle pushing through right down to human thinking, right down from the top of the level of science down to the level of Christian science, of blowing up everything which is opposite to mind, spirit, soul, just exploding it in a wonderful way and bringing out a new sense of life, truth and love, going up at the scale again, bringing out a new sense of life, truth and love, a new sense of universality, of integrity and integration. Oh, it's quite exciting if you put the right problem. Why do you always have problems? I never have problems. Oh, well. You don't believe me, you are right. But I must say that since I began to see something about that chart, that I'm quite a happy guy. And that I enjoy the world as it is. There is not an other world. It's a universe. It's a one world. And I enjoy seeing what's happening. And it's terrific what's happening. If you look behind it, put the right problem. You will be happy. You will be happy. You will feel it's worthwhile living. You don't think the world is going to run down. You think there is a big expansion coming in the whole world. But that's handling evil. First, to start not to put the wrong question about evil. If you ask, what is evil, what is error, what is my problem, how can I solve my problem, you have started right on the wrong track. Leave the problem. You know how John Dolly used to give us a method of treating? He said the very first thing is, put the problem behind you and turn away and turn to the infinite mind. Then you start. And do you have a feeling that if you start from science itself, from the one infinite principle, that you will have many serious problems? No. It's the one principle that is by itself self-operating, self-organizing, solving everything in that divine cybernetic what has to be solved. And we just can watch it and let it happen. We can let it happen, but consciously happen, not unconsciously happen. Consciously happen because we know how that divine infinite principle translates itself first to the level of divine science, where it says, here every problem is excluded. Science itself says, don't ask silly questions which can't be answered, ask a right question. A right question is to go out from principle. There, you see then, on the level of divine science, therefore, there every evil is excluded. We have always that sense, it's excluded. It doesn't enter into our consideration. There is no accuser there anymore. And that sense gives you another perspective, that of absolute Christian science, which says, and that one principle is operating as infinite ideas of that principle. It's not operating as solving silly problems. Mortal problems. It's solving as solving the problems of the one principle. Just as we are in mathematics, we usually put the right problem. We are not going to put the wrong problem in mathematics. Or aren't we, Sir Roy? We are putting the right problems. That's in science the big thing, to put the right problem. It's an art. I quite agree. It's an art. To know what is the right question. But the right question has a right answer. There is no evil in it. Evil is excluded. And so in life, it's the same thing. We should not try to make up our problems and try to solve them. What we should do consciously is to put up a right question and a right problem, a positive, what I call a positive problem. Namely, something which is true and which can be solved and resolved within itself. That's what happens on the plane of absolute Christian science. That this problem is a right problem and therefore has its right solution. There is no there is no friction in it. There is no tension in it. There is no error in it. Nothing like that. And that has as its effect, on the level of Christian science, that the wrong problem or the wrong question is solved by saying you have put the wrong question. The wrong problem is never solved. The wrong question is never solved. What science teaches is that it solves to see that you have put the wrong questions. That's the utmost that it can do about a wrong question and the wrong problem. And puts in its place the right problem, the right question, and the right solution. That's handling evil. Handling evil is not fighting with evil. It's not arguing with evil. That's metaphysics. Metaphysics argues with evil and says, through evil you are nothing, you have no power, you have no channel, you have no substance, you have no opportunity, you have no creative power, you cannot do anything, and so on. You have no eternity. That's metaphysics. You fight against that evil like hell, instead like heaven. Let's fight in heaven and not in hell. And fighting in heaven is going out from the infinite one. That's the problem. That's the question. The infinite one sees that all evil is excluded. Seeing that all evil is excluded, we see that the infinite one calculates always right problems and works out right problems. And that has it in, has its effect on the plane of Christian science, that the putting of the wrong problem and the wrong question is dissolved. Try it. It's science, because it begins from the infinite one, and from the infinite one comes one principle, and with its one principle comes the infinite idea, and with the infinite idea comes the demonstration of that idea. And that's demonstration. That's handling evil. Not to go out from evil and try to solve it with Christian science. Don't try it. Don't try. Try to go out from principle. And you will see that it works by itself. That it is self, not only self-operating, but it's self-organizing. And you will see that if you are in, say, in that consciousness, that things happen which you were not thinking of that should happen. And that they happen, and only respectively you see that they had to happen, and that they have a blessing in it which surpasses everything which we could have dreamt of. Demonstration happens when we don't know that it happens. While putting it extremely, you see. It's because, you see, can you see why? Because there is the infinite one, science. And if we are in line, in that consciousness of the infinite one says, I express myself as ideas of the infinite one. I demonstrate myself as ideas of the infinite one. And that's where demonstration happens. And only afterwards it translates itself further down to thought, pushing away our beliefs. And therefore only afterwards we realize what has happened. It turns the whole thing upside down, you know, the whole old metaphysical approach to Christian science upside down. The whole metaphysical problem says, oh, you know, I have a problem. I, who is the I? Who is the have? Who has anything? And what is the problem? It's just building up a monster of evil, which doesn't exist. Going the other way around, you feel you don't even have to solve a problem. More and more, you get into that peace and equilibrium where you feel I don't have to give a treatment. Being is self-working, self-organizing, self-operative, and it translates itself, not through us, not through our thinking, not through our efforts, not through our. It is itself. And all what we do is to witness what principle has been done, has been doing. Let it happen. Once, when we were explaining this to some students, they said, but this is too easy. It's too easy to believe, just to let it happen. I said, well, try it if you can from morning to night and from the first day to the last day of the year, let principle happen. Can you do that? That's the only work we can do, to let it happen. We are standing in the way. We say, I am somebody. I have my problems. I want to solve these problems. I must solve these problems. We stand in the way. And to get ourselves out of the way, that's the only contribution the little we can do. All else is done by the big I am, the principle of being. All right, here we stop.